Ooh, it's good to be in God's house. It's good to be happy. It's good to be in love. It's good to be enjoying your life. It's good to see all the blessings of the Lord just unfold in front of your eyes. It's almost like God had it planned all along, and he just blesses us and stays with us and continually is on our side. And so what a great and mighty God we serve. Amen. What a wonderful Lord that we serve. We give him all praise and we give him all glory. If you brought your Bible with me, let's make our confession today, because it's going to change your life. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. A little bit louder, hallelujah. Even louder still, hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful Savior, we give you praise. Give him a hand clap of praise. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. We worship you, Almighty God. We bless you in this house, in this place. Glory to your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got a couple of places I want to go, but let's just start out in the book of Mark. I want to show you something that I've seen in a brand new way, and I want to share it with you here this morning as we do. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, is where we're going to be looking at here just for a few moments as we share together. As you know, and I talked about abundance last week, and for the last few weeks before that, of course, we taught about the authority of the believer for 12 weeks. I believe there's 12 CDs. There's one set that has like, what, 7 and 1, 5, is that right? 6 and 4. Okay, all right. 12 CDs, right? And 6 and 6. Got it. All right, okay, making sure I had it right. I thought one had more than the other. Okay, 6 and 6. Okay. And they are available, and someone in our church said they really just want to be a blessing to some folks and have purchased some. Not that we, you know, let you know if you had need of some, we certainly want to get them into your hands at no charge. They do cost the church money to make that kind of material and put everything together to do that with. But someone purchased some in the church here and want to give them away. So if you would like to have a set for yourself, then see Angel at the end of the service today and give her a little note, and we'll get you set. It won't cost you anything. Now, don't say I want one for my cousin, my uncle, my two brothers, and my next-door neighbor. The fire department, the police. Now, I'd love for the fire department, police department to have them. I really would. If we got a fire department person or officer walked in our doors of our church, we sure would give them one. We would bless them. Amen? But you know what I mean. You know what I say. Don't go home and say, I got 6 sets, and I'm going to sell 5 of them on eBay. But anyway, don't do that. Don't do that. If you'd like to have one, and cost has been something that maybe been a concern for you, please see Angel. And we got some of the free, been made available, absolutely free. You can have them. And not any problem whatsoever. Okay, but today I want to share something from the book of Mark and chapter 11 on one verse that I want to zero in on, and really just one word of that one verse. Because having authority and using authority are connected, but then in another way they are separate. You may have something and not use it. I know many people sometimes have discovered talents late in life and didn't know of them using as a child or a teenager or even a younger person, but later on they discovered they had a talent, they began to use it. It was there all along, but they didn't use it. You have the authority of a believer if you have done one thing, and that is accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because of that, you have been seated with Christ Jesus above and far above everything on this earth and every name and every adversary that is named in this world and the world that is to come. And so we are seated with Christ Jesus at the right hand of God in all power and majesty along with Christ Jesus. We rule and we reign with him. But how do we carry out that authority? How do we exercise that authority? Look with me in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Jesus said, "For verily," or truly as we sometimes say, "I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be," I'm reading King James text explicitly, "thou removed, Be thou, in other words, you mountain be removed. Thou, this absolute mountain, not all mountains, but you mountain, the mountain I'm talking to. Thou be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. For clarity's sake, look at it again, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Even another time. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Notice, Christ is talking about moving a mountain. And in speaking of moving the mountain, he says there is a command that comes. Mountain, King James language, be thou removed. Maybe a more contemporary understanding. Mountain, you and you only, be removed. Moving a mountain. And this mountain needs to move and be cast into the sea. Moving a mountain from where it is lodged and casting it into a sea. Now, notice that what he's saying here in moving this mountain, he doesn't say, if you will collect up, and of course Christ, a Jewish person himself, and the Jewish community, and he goes out to the brothers in the land, and he says, I need 1,000 people to help me with shovels today. And 1,000 people show up with a shovel, and they dig up this mountain, and they move it from one place to another. He's not saying that. It is not even saying, as we understand Scripture is relevant for every age and day, it's not even saying now that you go out and you rent and you buy or purchase whatever you want to do, 100 bulldozers, and you move that mountain. You don't move it with a shovel and you don't move it with a bulldozer, but you do move the mountain. What is it that moves the mountain? Look what he said. For verily I say that whosoever shall say. Saying is what moves the mountain. Now, if you can read better than I'm sure some of you can for sure. But if you look at that and you see anything else that moves that mountain, I would really like to know, because I don't see anything else that moves it. Some people may say, well, God moves the mountain. Of course we understand that God empowers and backs up the authority of the believer and the word spoken by the believer. Of course we know that. But the mountain is still not moved just because God can move the mountain. The mountain is only moved, Jesus says, when, he says, truly I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. When you start speaking to the mountain, you have to say something to the mountain. Speak to it. Somebody say, speak to it. Say something to it. Sheila and I, we were in love from the first day that I met her. It took her a while. I sort of grew on her. But it took her a while. But the first day I met her, we were in love. But you know what? We were never married until we both said something. We were not married until we said something. When we spoke our vows before Almighty God and the particular minister who officiated at that, then at that point, we became married at 6 o'clock on Friday evening, October 26, 1973. We were married at 6 o'clock Friday evening that night, just like a date does. It's just an extended date, all it was. And so we were married on the same night that we always went on a date, that kind of thing. But we were married only because we stated our vows and we said something. I mean, life is like that. If you purchase a house, you may do a contract, a written contract of what was verbally implied by both parties, and you purchase a house. If you purchase an automobile, the same way. Your words mean something. We had a little fender bender on our car, and I took it to the guy that works in, actually, Shearer's Body Shop just down the road here. And he looked at it and came in and said, yeah, this is going to be so many thousand dollars. That's what it's going to cost repair, blah, blah, blah. I said all of that kind of stuff. And he said to me, I said to him, I said, well, you want me to give you some money up front? He said, no. You're going to pay me, aren't you? I said, yes. That's all I need. All I need is a yes. I went and picked it up, and I said, "What am I so?" He said, "Don't worry about it. We're going to get it paid. No problem. Wait, everything settles. You good for it, I know." How do you know? Because you said yes. What we say and what we speak has great value in this life. But for some reason, people come to God and they come into this thing, if you want to call it religion, not religion, but Christianity, and you come into this understanding, well, you know, that doesn't mean anything. I don't have to say anything in Christianity. Yet Jesus says the mountain moves because somebody said something to it. The mountain moves because somebody said something to it. And the same way with you and I, sometimes things move very quickly. Sometimes it takes a little time for them to move. I mean, sometimes it really does. When I broke my arm on November the 5th last year, and broke my arm, the doctor said, there's some things you'll never get back, some things never going to happen. You're always going to have this swelling in your hand. You're always going to have this in your arm. You're going to have to get used to all that kind of stuff. He said, I know you'd like to be positive and that kind of stuff, and I'm just shooting with you up front. Here's what it is. And I said, well, I understand what you're saying, and I understand how things work, and I believe exactly what you said. But at the same time, I believe that God's greater and God can do it. So I've been speaking to my hand, and right now is the first Sunday since November the 5th of last year that I've wore my wedding ring. I was back on my hand again. My hand is no longer swelling. Now, how did it get there? Well, there's natural healing that takes place. Of course there is. I understand that. But at the same time, I also know, I've been speaking that hand, you're going down in Jesus' name. Swelling, you can't stay in the name of the Lord. And I've said it day after day, week after week, and month after month. Didn't you say it one time and walk away and say, well, I guess that don't work. No, it's going to work. Somebody say, it's going to work. And I kept speaking, kept saying. Now, I could have walked away and said, well, the doctor said. And he's a good doctor, a loving man, done a great job. Thank the Lord for him. But I could go by and say, well, the doctor said, well, I understand if you need to get scraped up off the road or whatever you're at, you probably need a doctor to work on you a little bit. But at the same time, God can do a whole lot more than our doctors can. He can do more than I can. And I'm not criticizing anyone by making that statement. God is just greater. If not, who is God then if he's not greater than man? And so we're going to say what God says. And our mountains are going to move. And so what is your mountain? What is your mountain? And what are you saying about your mountain? Oh, Lord, it looks like we're not going to make it. Is that what you're saying? Things look tough around this place. I don't see how we'll get by on this. My goodness, I mean, from one present to the next. Oh, Lord, look who the present is now. Then, oh, Lord, look who the present is now. And whoever it is, you know, people complain about whatever's going on. I mean, what are you saying? What are you talking about your world? What are you saying? What are you speaking? Jesus said that you talk to your mountain. Talk to your wallet if you're a man. Talk to your purse if you're a woman. If you're a man talking to your purse, come on to the altar. Amen. Talk to it. Talk to your checking account. Talk to your savings. Talk to your investments. Talk to your gold and silver and whatever you got, whatever you do. Talk to it. Talk to your car. Talk to your house. Talk to your home. Talk to your wife. Talk to your girlfriend. I mean, you know, do it. Put some words out there. Say things. Speak it. That is you. When you speak those words, tell us who's on the inside of this body we're looking at. I see your body, but I don't know much about you until something comes out your mouth. Then when something comes out of your mouth, I begin to learn about you, the real you that's on the inside. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Let me show you how that works, okay? Because this is not flippant. This is not like I hear people say, well, you mean just because I say something and I'm going to get it. That's what that preacher said. It's more to it than that. And that's not all that I'm saying. But people want to criticize. Like, yeah, you name it and claim it, people. You blab it and grab it, people. That's what they say. You blab it and grab it. Somebody told me one time, said, you're just a blab it and grab it preacher. Yeah, and I ain't letting go of it either since I grabbed it either. I'm going to keep on holding it because I got it. Somebody say, I got it. I ain't letting go. You call it what you want to. I got it. Call it what you want to call it. I got it. Woo, we got it, ain't we, Sheila? We got it. Call it anything you want to call it. We got it. Oh, Lord, we got it. All right, look at Matthew chapter 12. Look what Jesus said. Now, I'm still just reading you what Jesus said. You forget everything I've said so far if you want to, and just go by that Mark 11:23, because Jesus said it. It's in red in your Bible or on your tablet. whatever, it's there. Let's read some more of the stuff in red. All right, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus said, either make the tree and his fruit good. Okay, the tree and his fruit good. Or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Fruit is nothing more than a revelation of what the tree is. Whether it's good or whether it's corrupt. It really doesn't matter. I mean, both ways are just going to show you what it is. Why does a person tell lies? Because they are liar. Why do people tell the truth? Because they are honest. Okay. Now notice, he says here, the tree is known by its fruit. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can you be evil? I hear people today, you know, we're in such a politically correct world. They don't ever want you to say anything about somebody else and that kind of thing in a way of, I call it telling the truth. And sometimes people think those things are not pleasant to hear. And it might be. I know some things in life, if somebody's walking by an electrical outlet, you say, don't get that close to that thing, or they're about to put the finger, don't do that, are you crazy? Well, you hurt my feelings when he said I'm crazy. Well, if you touch that, you're going to have more than hurt feelings. So I want to do something. And Jesus called these people vipers. Why? Because they were vipers. That's what he said. If they are, change who you are if you don't like being called a viper. A viper is, how can you, being evil, speak good things? You see, an evil person can't speak the good things. Because the words are not just coming out of his mouth, they're coming out somewhere deeper than his mouth. Notice, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you fill yourself with, we talked about abundance last week, what you fill yourself with is what will flow out of you. If you fill yourself with the Word of God, you will talk the Word of God. If you fill yourself with the things of God, you will experience the things of God. If you fill yourself with love, you'll just love everybody and think everybody loves you. You will. You will. I've learned something over the years. You know, beauty has a certain amount to do with outward characteristics, but beauty has a whole lot more to do with what's on the inside than what's on the outside. A person can be beautiful on the outside and ugly on the inside, and the outside looks ugly once you, you know, uncover it, reveal it, so to speak. But if a person is beautiful on the inside, they can take the outside and just project that beauty right through what's going on in the outside. What's on the inside tells us who you are. What's going on? Get the inside fixed. Get that going right, and everything else will take care of itself. It really will. I mean, just get it going. Okay. Verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, notice how he explains this. He says, very simple. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So a good man has good treasure in his heart. That good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. The good treasure in the heart brings forth good things. Notice what he just said in verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in the heart? The mouth speaking. The root of the mouth speaking is in the heart. That's where the mouth speaking came from the heart. It is the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Jesus then says, a good man out of the good treasure. So fill up your heart with good treasure. Fill it up with good things. Make decisions that you'll fill yourself with the Word of God. You'll live by the Word of God. You'll say what Jesus said. And you'll say what the Father speaks through Christ. We'll say what the Holy Spirit gives us. We'll say what is in the Word of God. And those things are what we're going to fill ourselves with, not the other things. And if anything else comes up to you that is contrary than the Word of God, then put that block right there. Just block that out. Somebody told me one day, tell it to the hand. Need to say that to the devil, amen? Tell it to the hand, you know? But the thing is this, recognize where it's coming. A good man out of the good treasure of heart brings forth good things. Now, to the contrary, an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, you know, and this, don't get mad, but this is just an illustration, okay? On this gun violence debate and everything that's going on around, I think. No, I don't think crazy people would have guns, okay? And there's some understanding about little children and that kind of thing have guns. There's some understanding about some things that ought to be allowed and prohibited. But at the same time, ain't no gun never killed nobody. If you got evil in the heart, that's what pulled the trigger. Amen? I've had a gun since I was probably about 9 years old. I ain't killed nobody yet. I ain't planning on it. I said, need to. I wouldn't want to need to. I ain't planning on it. But, you know, it's not the gun. And I got a gun right now at home, a .22 rifle upstairs in my closet upstairs. Been sitting there forever. And it hadn't killed anybody all this time. And I dare say right now that if a criminal was to break in my house today and take everything we got, that gun would just sit there. It wouldn't shoot and kill nobody, even though I get robbed and lose everything we got at home. Guns don't kill people. The person that pulls the trigger pulls. Okay? And so the same thing going on right here. It's what's in the heart that empowers that word that is a life-giving force or a death-giving force, whichever word you want to speak. An evil man out of the evil treasure of heart brings forth evil things. Now you say, well, is this important? I mean, is this important that I do this? Is it important that I know this? Look at verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof on the day of judgment. And so I will stand before God, so will you, in judgment, based on the words that we speak, the words that we say. Why? Because God says, well, you just said a word out in the air. No, because that word revealed what was in your heart. The word was you. And it came out of your heart. You filled yourself with something, and that became your word, and when you spoke it out, we know what you've been filling yourself with. We understand that. I worked with a fellow many, many years ago when I was just a teenager, and I worked at Lawrence Mill just for the summertime. And when I worked there, I won't say a whole lot about it, but a fellow that went to the same church I went to at the time and was an official in that particular church, he worked there too. And so when I met him down there, the first thing he said to me was this. He said, now, Leon, I want to explain something to you. I said, what's that? He said, now, this is work and that's church. I said, okay, that's work and church. Got it. So far. He said, now, at work sometimes, you know what, we don't sing choir songs and run around raising our hands like this all the time. Although we love the Lord everywhere we go. And sometimes you might hear a little byword slip out of my mouth. He said, but don't think anything of it. I thought, okay. I didn't know what a byword was, but he introduced me to what bywords were. And believe me, I never heard a word like that was a byword before. Lord, help. The bywords that man spoke, Lord. You wanted to wash out his soap with some bi soap or something. I don't know what it was, but that all that did showed what was in his heart. It just showed what's in his heart. That slipped. Well, you know why it slipped? Andy Griffin said that's a greasy word that came out, right? You know why it was greasy and why it slipped? Because you filled yourself with it. You filled yourself with it. It comes out. You ever had people around you and they can say something bad, something? Oh, pardon me, I didn't mean to cuss in your presence. You ever heard somebody? Oh, pardon me. Oh, there's ladies present. You think ladies are the only people don't want to hear cussing? Don't get mad, but I've heard some women, boy, they could really cuss. Lord, you think men cuss? Lord, help me. Oh, y'all going to get me after the service anyway. But anyway, them guns and them women, he got on both of them. But anyway. But no. You know, they're just revealing what's on the inside. If you don't like what's coming out, change what you're putting in. And you can bite your tongue until it's a bit off. You can grab it and catch it and do all kinds of stuff. But the problem is you're putting something in. And if you quit putting something in, something will quit coming out. Amen? You'll empty yourself out of a while. Now notice verse 37. For your words, how important are for your words, you'll be justified. Okay? Justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. Justified or condemned? Justification or condemnation? Justified or condemned? The choice is based on the words you speak. The words you speak is based on what you fill your heart with. And so what you put in is going to come out. If you want to be justified, put in words that are justifiable. I've heard people say, well, I can't justify what I say. Well, don't say it if you can't justify what you say. Be justified in your words. Don't be condemned in your words. You don't want to be justified, you don't want to be condemned, whichever way you want it to go, then look at what you're putting on the inside. Now, let me show you something. Look with me to the book of, wow, let's go to Genesis 5. Genesis 5, verse 22. And let me show you something, how this works out. Scripture tells us in the book of Amos, one of the Old Testament prophets, who said this, can two walk together except they be agreed? For you and I to walk together, we must be in agreement. For Sheila and I to have entered into our marriage, I talked about, we both had to agree to it. We both had to agree. And we did agree. I found out she had $50 and I said, that's it, we're going to get married. But anyway, we both had to agree to it. And you don't get married until both parties agree, unless it's called a what? A shotgun wedding, right? And you know, it's not going to last long. And so you don't get married. You got to have agreement in what's going on. You have to have agreement. We make contracts of agreement. Now, the thing about our agreement with God, Amos said, two can't walk together if they don't agree. Can two, he's asking a question for him, can two walk together except they agreed? Obvious answer is, of course they can't. And so we have to be in agreement with God. Here's the secret to that. If any changing has to be done, it ain't going to be God. You and me are the one who have to do the changing to come into alignment with God. Now, you say, does God not too big to change? God don't need to change. He's always right. And if you're always against what God said, you'd be the one to be always wrong. And so let's not be always wrong. Let's make some changes. Amen? I mean, I'm good about that. If I'm doing wrong, let's change. Let's change. I mean, who are you not to change? Let's change. Everybody say change. Change. Amen. Tyrone Davis had it right. I change. Look at Genesis 5 verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And his life is cut short. People in those days are living about 1,000. And so why is it that his life is cut short? At 365 years age, because Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. God reached down, and if you want to use the word raptured, or snatched up, or caught away, whatever you want to use, if you want to reach down and say that, he reached down and he just took Enoch out of the world at 365 years of age. Enoch did not die. He does not have a glorified body. He does not have a resurrected body because he ain't died. He is still alive in his flesh body today. Right now, with God in heaven. He's still there. And God just reached out and took him. Well, what happened? What does it say here? Notice it said, verse 25, and Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. So why? Why did God reach down and take Enoch? Why did he reach down and take him? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. It'll tell you the answer to the question I just asked. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. Scripture tells us, by faith, Enoch was translated. In other words, he was transferred, translated from here to there, earth to heaven, translated, that he should not see death. God said, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. And so as he stays on earth, he's going to die. So God says, I'm going to take you on to heaven without dying. That's why he's translated. And he was not found. He's not there. Because God had translated him. Hebrews 11, 5. For before his translation, here's how we find out why he was translated. Before his translation, he had this testimony. Everybody say testimony. He had a testimony that he pleased God. His testimony pleased God. Very clear, isn't it? What is a testimony? We were reading the Old Testament and now the New Testament. A testament is a writing of the testator. It is the words, we call them written down, but they can be verbal as well. If you're in a court of law, we have a witness come forward and they testify. What do they do when they testify? They speak words out. They speak words out. This is the truth. This is what happened in the facts situation. And they begin to speak. Enoch had a testimony. In other words, he was speaking, he was talking, he was saying, and his tree that he had was a good tree, and he was speaking, and it pleased God what he said. Ask yourself a question. Is your testimony and is my testimony pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to God? That's the big question. It is not a matter of this particular teaching, that teaching, doctrine, whatever you want to say. Is my words approved of God? Are my words a testimony unto the Lord? Now, some people have words or not. Look at Malachi. You're there in Hebrews. Back up to the book of Matthew. Go back one book, and you'll be in Malachi. So, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Here's what the Lord says. He takes this thing very, very serious about our words. I mean, he is serious about this thing. This is how it works. Now, I know the religious mind says, well, you know, God can just do whatever he wants to do. He don't need a little old me to say this or to say that. After all, who am I? Well, you've obviously forgotten, as T.L. Osborne preached many years ago, you've obviously forgotten that you have the authority of the believer, that you are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies at the right hand of Almighty God. And as a ruler, you are in the heavens. And with that authority, how do you make things happen? You don't get off of the throne and go do it yourself with Christ. You're there with Christ. You give the command. And God said in the Old Testament, concerning the work of my hands, command you me. We begin to speak. We begin to say things. That's how it operates in the earth. It was Andrew Murray that said this, that prayer is that vehicle. It's that way that God gets things done in the earth. And outside of prayer, how else is he going to make it happen? Because the people who are praying, the people who are children of God, they're the ones with the authority. They're the only ones that can let people into the earth. And God himself has made that, in our day and age, the vehicle through which he comes into the earth and does things is by prayer. But still people, well, God do whatever he wants to do. No. Read the scripture and study what scripture has to say about it. Scripture tells you clearly how God moves and how he works in the earth. All right. Look at Malachi chapter 2. Well, what about my words? You have wearied the Lord, the prophet Malachi said to the nation of Israel, northern nation. You have wearied the Lord with your... How did they weary the Lord? With what? Somebody tell me what? Say it again one more time. Words. You have wearied the Lord with your words. What you've been saying. Now, why? Is it just like, well, I got mad, said I'm wrong, or just a word here, word there? That's not it. Remember, words reveal who's on the inside. And so if you're wearied with the words, you're wearied with them. Okay? You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say. You want to know how he's doing it? Where have we wearied him? Isn't that just like modern Christianity?
What did I do? I ain't done nothing. I didn't ask to be born on this place. What God do it trying to tell me how to live?
Well, God owns the place and created and made you, so he's got every right to tell you how to live. Amen? Amen. And if you don't take that advice, you're going to have big trouble when you leave this place. Okay? Malachi 2:17. Wherein have we wearied him? And he says this, that's a question mark, then he answers it. Here's how you did it. When you say... How are you wearied? You said something. You said something. When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And you got people walking around saying that sinners are right with God and they're okay in the sight of the Lord. You wearying the Lord. And you walk away, it don't matter. And you hear this big thing, well, God loves us. Yeah, God loves us all. God loves us all. He absolutely loves us all. But that don't mean he won't punish some of us that do wrong. Amen? And here to say, well, you know, everybody's a sinner anyway. What does it matter? Your sin is just different than my sin. My sin might be this, that. Who gives a rip, whatever. And it's okay with God. No, it's not okay. Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. When you say that, God says it wearies him. God said, what am I going to do? How am I going to put up with you? You know you don't believe that. You know you don't believe that. Comes to the end of the week, you're supposed to get paid, and one employer pays you what he owes you justly and gives it to you. And another employer that you work for that week too, he didn't pay you a dime, said, I'm just going to keep it and steal it from you. You don't love them both the same. You don't think they both did right. You don't invite them both to your party. Amen? You know that's it's only in church, when we get in church and religion, that we wipe out our sense, our common sense. No. Sinner, I mean, you know, one about the last thing to go in America is sinners. I mean, the church of the day has done away with about anything and everything. Everything's about okay. And now the last thing they're kicking out is sin. And ain't nobody sinners no more. Ain't nobody done wrong no more. God don't care no more. I mean, just, you know, you're all right. We all head that way. And no wonder the Church of America has sadly lost its power. You kick out the God of this universe, and you don't want to walk holy before God, that's choices you make. But the Bible says, without holiness, Hebrews 12:4, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Am I saying amen or omen? Amen? It's there. But we live in a world today where people are not caring. And preaching, they don't care. I saw a church start the other day. And it was a church start, I think, somewhere in the Greenville area, and they advertised, "We are the church where everybody is welcome. Come just like you are. We're not expecting you to change at all," is what they said. Well, you know, everybody is welcome, and everybody can come as you are, but I am expecting you to change. Amen? Absolutely. 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 And God is too. But when our church is advertising that to the community, well, we're just trying to get them all in. Well, you get them in on that basis, they ain't going to stay unless you stay at that basis. If you never require change of someone, you never require increase and advancement and to give God our very best. I mean, what if they said that? When I was in school and went out for football, I lasted in football about 3 days. I was real small for my age, and I was in that football for 3 days. The first time I came to football and practice, everything went good. And the second day that I came, somehow I sneaked in and around through the line and just sacked the quarterback real good. Well, the third day, they put two of the biggest guys I've ever seen in my life in front of me. And when I come around the side of the corner, they went, bam, and I was boom, right to the ground. I found out then football ain't for me. I said, I'm a musician, not a football player. And I went a different direction. But you know what? If I stayed in that football team, they didn't expect me to change. If they didn't, I've been dead. They expected me to change. They don't say, well, that's how you are. He just gets sacked every time, so, we'll just keep him. No, they expect you to change. You don't get signed back up. You get a free agent, all right? You better hope it's free because you won't make any money with football. You got to get out. You got to change. Same thing in church. Now notice what's going on. Everyone that does evil inside of God is Lord. And notice that. And he delights in them? You saying he delights in the people that are good or do evil and inside of the Lord? You say he delights in them? That wearies me. He just loves them. He's just madly crazy in love with them. Boy, he loves them. He delights in them. Bunch of sinners, but he delights in them, all right. No, the Lord said, that wearies me. Or you say, where is the judgment of God? Ain't no judgment of God anyway. And you say things like that God's not going to judge, God's not going to bring to pass, recompense for the wrong that people have done. God said, you better not be saying that either, because judgment does come. Amen? Now, look down to verse 13. In verse 13, here's what he said. Chapter 3. Malachi 3, verse 13, he said, your words have been stout against me. That's what it is. It's your words. It's what you're saying. Saith the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? What did we say? Notice he said this, verse 14. You have said, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is that we have kept his ordinances and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? In other words, you've been saying all these things about it. Does it pay to serve God? There's no profit in serving God? You're saying all this stuff no good to keep his ordinance and keep his commands? You say all that stuff? God said, that's how your words are stout against me. I think you can see very clearly from Malachi that he's saying the words that you and I speak and the words that you and I say are very, very important before God. It determines which direction you're going in life and what's going to happen in your life. Look with me real quickly to the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 38. John, New Testament, chapter 6, verse 38. John 6 and verse 38. Everybody should want to be like Jesus. I know I do. How about you? Amen? Somebody say, I want to be like Jesus. Just like him. John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven, Jesus says, to bring the kingdom of heaven to planet earth. I came down from heaven not to do my own will. Didn't come here to do what I want to do as such, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. He wants to do the will of the Father that has sent him. Again, what is the will? The will is the written testament and document of God as to how things go, how things should be dispersed, how things are carried out, the orders. I want to do the will of him that sent me. Now look at John chapter 12, verse 44. John chapter 12, verse 44. What is doing the will of him that sent me? John 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believes on me, believes not on me, but on him that sent me. He that believes on me, believes not on me, that him that sent me. Jesus is saying, when you believe the words I spoke to you, it's not really me that you're believing, but you're believing the one on the person who gave me the words, which is God. And verse 45, and he that sees me, sees him that sent me. In other words, whether you're believing the words, whether you're seeing, is all about God the Father. Every one of us should have that goal in our life. Whatever you do for the cause of Christ, whatever you do for the kingdom of God's sake, who cares if your name or my name is mentioned? Somebody say amen. That's why we've got all these pews, I think 56-something pews in this building right here. We're going to fill them all up. That's why we got them here, and not one of them has a plaque on the end of it that says who gave it. Now, there's some of us here, we paid for these pews and a whole lot more. But my name, your name ain't on it. And I'm glad, aren't you? Why? Because we did it for the glory of God. And you want to know who bought the pews? Not you, not me. God did. Amen? Amen. I love to see that in Christianity. Now, Jesus said this, verse 46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words, notice this, here it is again. Any man hear my words and believes not my words, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judges him. He's going to be judged, all right. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In other words, the words that I've spoken to you, which the Father gave me, that will be your judgment in the last days. The words I'm speaking, they're not my own, they're him that sent me, verse 44. It's God's word. When you look at me, you're not really seeing me. You're seeing God. You're seeing Christ. Verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. I'm speaking of the Father, not of me. He gave me a commandment, words, what I should say and what I should speak. God's given us command what we should say and what we should speak. Verse 40, for I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Somebody say, even as the Father says unto me, so I speak. So when you read the Bible, when you read the Word of God, that's what you and I are to speak. And if you really want to follow Jesus, and I do, and I'm persuaded the rest of you do today here as well, if we're really going to follow Jesus, we want to speak the words of God the Father. Not of our own mind or our own thoughts and that kind of thing. And over the years, as you walk in the ways of God, your own mind will become renewed and will have the mind of the Father in it. But if there's anything left in your own mind, or if there's anything still there, you're just beginning this process of renewing your mind and it comes out and it's not like God, cast those words aside, cast those imaginations aside, those vain thoughts, get rid of them, and begin to speak what the Father is saying. That's if you want to be like Jesus. Because that's what Jesus did, and Jesus is our example. We follow him. We walk as Christ walked. We do what Christ has done in the earth. Blessed is the Lord God Almighty. Glorious and mighty is the Father. We give you glory and we give you praise. We bow our knee unto you, Almighty God. Lord, we fall prostrate in your presence, O God. It is only you, O Lord God, that we want to be seen. We give ourselves unto you, Lord, and literally we give ourselves away. We give ourselves unto you for your glory and for your honor, that you might reveal your will in us, O Lord. That our words might not be our own, but that our words might be yours. God, that your word that you have given us since the world began, Lord, even to this day as until now, Father, God will be revealed in our life, Lord God. Those words we shall speak, and not another, Lord God. We shall walk according, O Lord God, to what you have said unto us. For it is thus saith the Lord God in our hearts and our lives, and nothing else really matters. We thank you that all the words of the enemy fall to the ground, Lord. And God, there is nothing he can do against us as we walk in your word and the power thereof. O Lord God, we give you ourselves, O Lord. We give you ourselves. Stretch your hands toward the heavens. Say, Father, I give you myself. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I don't want any more of me. I want all of you. Fill me, O Lord God, until I overflow, until your words run out of my life, until your words capture my thinking, until your words are absolutely my same words. I give myself to you. Glory to God. God is good, isn't he? God is good. God is good. Look at John 6 and verse 63. John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that makes alive. It is the Spirit. The flesh will profit you nothing, not anything. The words, Jesus said, that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. The words I speak are Spirit and life. One translation said the Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word Jesus has spoken to you is a Spirit word, and so it is life-making. I have words in me that make out my life. My life is determined by the words that I speak. My mountains are only moved when I speak to them. I speak the same thing that God speaks unto me. And my words truly have become God's word. God's word are not without power, for they are everlasting, and they accomplish great things in the earth, in your hearts, in your lives, and in your bodies, says the Lord God of hosts. God is good, isn't he? He is mighty good. I give him praise. I give him praise. Stand up with me this morning. God, Lord God Almighty, we give you praise. We give him praise. You know, you come to a place in your life where you just want to quit fighting and give up and, you know, let go and let God do something in your life. Just give your all to him. Give your all to the Lord. Give your all to the Lord. Almighty God, we give ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you, Lord God. There's nothing that this world offers, Lord. God, they ain't got nothing we want. Lord God, we love you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name. We magnify your name. We magnify your name. No se da bakashata de silia da bahanda bakosi. Nando do bakosi de bakashata de silia. Nanda bakota de bakesi de. Ye de kasata da batata bakushata de silia. Ye de hisi de. Lenda da 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 kosi de bakishota. Ora de kasata. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I want to take a few minutes today before we end the service. Come on, fill up the altars with me. We're going to pray a prayer of dedication, commitment of our hearts and lives to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Come on in Jesus' name. I want to say it like this. I want to say it like this, and in all sincerity, I do. Bring your mouth and your words to the altar, and you follow it. Bring your mouth and your words to the altar. Bring it to the altar in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame by the word of the Lord and the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Like Enoch, we have a testimony that will please God. We will overcome. We will overcome in Jesus' name. We will overcome in Jesus' name. Pray this prayer with me. Lift your hands with him. Say, Father, I bring myself to you. I bring my words to you. Any words of my life that are not for you, I resist them. I rebuke them. Even now, I never will speak them again. Lord God, cleanse my mouth. Cleanse my words of doubt, unbelief, and fear, and failure. Vain words, things that are against you, things that don't reveal your will. Lord God, I yield to you. I give you who I am from the bottom of my heart and from all that flows out of my heart. I give to you even my words. From this day, I will trust you. I will not doubt. I will say, I will speak what you have said, what you have spoken, regardless of my world, regardless of my thinking, regardless of my body, regardless of any circumstance or situation that surrounds me. I give you my words, O Lord. You are Lord of my life. You are Lord of my words. I give them to you now. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, I give you my mouth to speak through me, to talk this day in words that you have given, in languages that you have given that I don't even fully understand nor fully know. I give you myself and I bless you this day. Now worship the Lord. Come on, worship him. Hallelujah. Right loud. Come on, give him your mouth. You said you would. Give him your words. Come on, give him your words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, shout it out. Don't be ashamed. Don't be fearful. Give him your words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Your hand is upon us. Thank you for our salvation, Lord God. Thank you that you delivered us from the devil's hell. Thank you that we're born again. Thank you we walk righteously. Thank you, Lord God, we live in freedom this day. Thank you, Lord God, our bodies are healed. Thank you we have health in our body. Thank you we have health in our mind. Thank you, Lord God, we overflow with divine health in our lives. We bless you, Lord. Thank you all our needs are supplied. Thank you we lack for nothing. Thank you, Father God, your hand is upon us for good. Thank you, Lord, love comes out of us, reaches all men and women. Thank you, Lord, no hatred, no bitterness, no strife. Thank you, Father, we walk with joy and happiness and peace in every blessing that you bestow upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Wonderful God, mighty God, glorious God. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Speak it in Jesus' name. Amen. If I say, how you doing, what you going to say? I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Amen. God is good to us, isn't he? A wonderful Lord, a mighty God that we serve. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep worshiping.
Amen.
I'll take some, I'll agree some of that with you. Well, because I don't work on my words too. Every time I preach to you guys, I'm preaching to me. God already preaches to me. Amen. God's good, isn't he? God's real good. He is real, real good in Jesus' name. How many believing for the best is yet to come? How many believe the best is yet to come? Oh, God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. Amen. What's your little baby's name? Sarah? Erica. Erica. How old is Erica? In 1 and 2 weeks. She doing good? Everybody stretch your hands. We bless Erica in the name of Jesus. May the Lord's head be upon her. May she never lack. May she never want. May she never know sickness or disease or pain. And may your hand be upon her all the days of her life. God, may she be victorious in all things. And may her little heart, Lord, open up to you fully, Lord God, as she understands who you are. And may your grace surround her, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
It came out. I got it out.
Okay. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Tell somebody you love him today. Amen.